Brother Robert has the reading for you today. It will be familiar to you, I believe. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Thanks, Brother Robert. Come on forward.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from the time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The word of the Lord. Amen.
Let's thank the Lord for his word. Father, indeed we are grateful to you that you speak to us, have spoken to us, Lord. We ask you now, Lord, having read your word, that your spirit would be our teacher, and that you would speak to us through the message today and assure us of your mighty and good promises, Father, the things that you have sworn to do, sworn by your own good name that you will do. May we take refuge in them this morning. In Jesus Christ, amen. Friends, as you know, for the Advent season this year, and actually from a little before the Advent season began, our theme has been the way of peace, the way of peace. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ever since the terrible, tragic event of the fall and the descent of the curse, right, the shroud of death upon the creation, the Almighty has been at work, first secretly and subtly, and then after a while more openly, he's been at work on a plan to restore peace to his damaged and desperate world. And over the last 5 weeks, we have progressed, if you like, through stages, through the sequence of peace, if you like, starting from the man Zacharias the priest, suddenly, during his priestly service, suddenly visited by an angel who informed him of a son soon to arrive, a son who would prepare the hearts of the people to make ready for the Lord, right? The dawning of a new day, finally some movement toward the grand happy ending for which God's people had been longing for generations. Right? All the promises of God from the Old Testament scriptures are kind of hanging there, suspended, you know, waiting for God to take some action. And then, look, one day the dayspring from on high has visited us to guide our feet into the way of peace. And at the beginning, we also mentioned a lovely verse from the book of Acts, where it said that the churches over the whole region, this is Acts chapter 9, the churches over the whole region enjoyed a time of peace. And pretty much what we've been doing is considering how did things get from point A to point B. You know, somewhere in between Zacharias and this interlude of peace in Acts chapter 9, peace arrived for lots and lots of people, right? And so what are the stages? Well, John the Baptist preached repentance, the first stage, right? Repentance. Christ came right after him, preaching the same message. The kingdom of God is at hand, therefore repent. Second step was atonement, right? Reconciliation with God, propitiation for our sins, right? And then follow me, right? Walk with me, walk with Christ, abide in Christ, right? Advance in holiness and in Christ's likeness. And then last week we talked about not just peace within, not just peace with God, but peaceableness with all men. And it's very wonderful to be able to kind of look back down at where God has brought you from and where he's brought you to in life and recognize how much our Father has blessed us with his peace. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and in every way. That's what the scripture says. But that isn't all there is to it. Something still remains. What yet remains ahead of us? And so for today, for us to consider during Christmas week, I think no finer thing for us to think about than what lies ahead. Much of what we think of at Christmas time is prophecy, right? Things that were laid up in Scripture, and then at the appropriate time, they came to be. Well, if those plans of God were accomplished according to what was written, then we can certainly have confidence that the things that remain yet to be fulfilled, the rest of what God has decreed, certainly also will likewise come to pass just as it is written. Okay? And the line I want to turn your attention to from our text this morning is from verse 7, where it says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Right? It doesn't just say that Christ's kingdom will not end, but of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Last week I referred to the fact that living things grow, right? How do you know something is alive? Well, it grows. Jesus came to bring us life. He came to give us everlasting life. And if living things grow, and certainly if there's going to be no more death to kind of hold things back, then we're certainly going to see some kind of increase of Christ's kingdom, right? Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end, right? Peace eternal. And not only everlasting, but ever growing. The kingdom of God, the Savior said, is like a mustard seed, right? A mustard seed, one small child, right? To us, a child is born. And the Savior said, unless a seed is what? Planted in the earth. It just remains alone, a single seed. But if it, what? Dies, it brings forth much fruit, right? And it grows and grows until it overtops all the other plants in the garden, and the birds of the air come and take refuge in its branches, and the beasts of the field rest under its shade, right? So today I just want to look forward to some of the aspects of the eternal peace that Christ will accomplish for us in time to come. So first I want to consider some of the if you please, negative things that will be no more, right? That will be done away when Christ comes, as this passage says, to govern or to reign. So the first thing to think of is, well, war. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth, right? That's Psalm 46, verse 9. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. In Hosea, he says, "In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and birds of the air. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth, and I will cause my people to lie down in safety." If you still have your Bible open, just back up a verse to verse 5. What does it say? "Every warrior's boot from the noisy battle and all of the garments rolled in blood will be what? They'll be used for burning and for the fuel of the fire." Over in Ezekiel, he says that for 7 solid years, people are not going to have to cut down wood from the forest or from the field to light a fire with, because they're going to be making fires with all of the shields and bucklers and bows and arrows and spears and javelins. So just imagine no military academy, no training drills, no draft, no Department of Homeland Security, no spy agencies, right? What need will there be for a sword? Right? You're certainly not going to cut a person with it. So take it down to your local blacksmith and have him make you a plow blade out of it and use it to turn the earth, to cut the earth instead, or make a pruning hook out of it to cut your apple tree with. Because nation will never lift up sword against nation ever again. Neither will they learn war anymore. How is this going to happen? Because to us a son is given, the Prince of Peace. Another thing that will end forever, oppression. Right, back up one more verse here, verse 4. It says that you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff or the bar across his shoulder, right? The rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Who's Midian? You remember your Old Testament stories from the book of Judges. Who's Midian? You remember how Gideon and his men overthrew the Midianites and expelled them from the land of Israel once and for all, freeing the Israelites from the terrible burden of their oppressors, Right? You remember how the Midianites, it says, covered the land like a swarm of locusts and ravaged the land and impoverished the Israelites. Right? They could not be counted. It was impossible to count them. So things like slavery, trafficking, torture, burglary, child abuse, vandalism, taxation, drugs, gangs, right, totalitarianism, all of those things forever fading into distant memory, right? All of those things a distant thing of the past. And as Scripture says, the former things will be forgotten, right? Things that devour life and devour property, like an invasion of locusts, right? Things that lay a bar of enslavement over our necks, lifted and vanished. Okay, stand up on your feet and be free. Right? The Lord says, behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her or crying. No more shall an infant from there live just a few days, or an old man who has not filled out his days. They shall build houses and inhabit them themselves. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit themselves. They shall not build and someone else inhabit. They shall not plant and someone else take it and eat it. Right? My elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, they and their offspring with them. Destructions are finished forever, O enemy. That's what Psalm 9 says. How the oppressor has ceased and his insolent fury ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers who continually strike the people with wrath and rule over them in their anger. And the whole earth is at rest and quiet, and they break forth into singing. How will this thing be? Because to us a son is born, the Prince of Peace. A third thing that will be no more, the wicked themselves. Right now, it's one thing to talk about oppression and injustice, and these are words that you hear a lot today. But let's be honest, oppression and injustice are not things that just are out there. They don't just happen by themselves. People cause them. Right? It's not just evil that afflicts the world. It's evildoers. Right? It's not just, oh, if there were only less crime, no crime. Well, no, if there were no criminals. And this is why a necessary condition for a kingdom of peace is that there be first a judgment. Okay, and not just a judgment on wickedness, but on the wicked. Okay, you remember how the song goes? You probably sang it at Thanksgiving time, where it says that Christ will give his angels charge at last in the fire the tares to cast. Who are the tares? The sons of the evil one. Okay, the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. And it says, the Lord said this himself, as the tares are collected and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age, where the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will pluck out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and cast them into the furnace of fire, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Okay, the psalm says, for evildoers will be cut off. Right? Psalm 2 says, he will dash them to pieces. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. In fact, you will earnestly look, eagerly look for his place, but it will be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Okay, the day is coming. Burning like an oven, Malachi says, and all the proud, all who do wickedly, will be as straw, and the day that is coming will burn them up, leaving them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves, and you shall trample down the wicked in the day that I do this, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, says the Lord of hosts. Okay, why will the former troubles be forgotten? Because the troublers will be no more. Okay, no thief breaks in and steals. That's what the Lord says. How the oppressor has ceased, the whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. Okay, well, enough about them. I want to think now Instead of negative things that will be done away, let's think more about the positive changes. So first, peace in the natural realm. Okay, peace in the natural realm. The sun shall not strike you by day. Springs will burst forth in the desert. The parched ground will become as a pool. The thirsty land, streams of water, and in the dry wastelands, which were once the haunts of jackals, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Okay, a new earth. Ezekiel 36 says, the earth itself, the land itself, will no longer consume her inhabitants. Right? No earthquakes, no forest fires, no lightning strikes, no landslides, no floods, no F5 tornadoes, no ice storms, no pestilence. A pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. And in the middle of the street and on either side of the river, the tree of life. Each tree bearing its fruit once a month, right? The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad and all that's in it. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. And all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord because he comes. He comes. That's Psalm 96. Right? Peace in the natural realm. Peace in the animal kingdom. Okay? You know the promises there. They will neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Right? The lion will eat grass just like an ox. So no more ambushing baby zebras and tearing them to pieces. No more vultures picking carcasses apart. No more foxes terrorizing the hen house. Right? The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Right? The cow and the bear will what? Graze together. Okay? Because there's going to be no more curse. So the whole concept of predator and prey, a thing of the past, and also man's activity will cause no more harm in the animal realm. So remember how the Lord in Genesis saw everything, surveyed everything that he had made, and behold, what? It was very good, very good. Why is there death? Well, death came in by sin. Sin will be no more. Death will be no more. I am making all things new. Okay, but better than that, better than either of those things, the knowledge of the Lord. I don't mean knowledge about the Lord. I mean they will see his face. It shall come to pass in the latter day that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established over the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow up to it. And people shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Let's go to the house of the God of Jacob, where he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. We will see him as he is. Okay, now, Christians, we see him dimly, right? We can't see him with the physical eye, right? We see him dimly as through a clouded glass. But then, face to face, no more, we won't be doing this. No more shall a man teach his neighbor or teach his brother, saying, know the Lord. They will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. And I will walk among them and be their God, and they will be my people. I will shepherd them and lead them to streams of living water. And they will say, this is our God. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Okay, not a hint remaining of any false religion, or any delusion about God, or, you know, where did we come from? What's the meaning of life? You know, why are we here? How can I find inner peace? Those kinds of things, right? The Lord says, I will remove from their lips the names of the Baals. Right? They'll be forgotten forever, and deservedly so, because they're nothing. They're worse than nothing, right? They are a lie, a deception. They're the product of the imaginations of unknowing men. The Hindu gods, the Islamic god, the Buddhist cosmology, all of the invented gods and theories, ancient and modern. Okay, they're all going to be forgotten, because then the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord Jehovah, the way the waters cover the sea. Okay, and the kingdom of Christ spanned from pole to pole and sea to sea, filled with the fullness of Christ. You know what the Bible says? We behold him face to face in all his glory. So like I said, not even a hint, not even a thought of heresies. We won't have sectarianism. We won't have cults. We won't have idols. We won't have icons. We will not have shrines or any temples to useless things. We won't even have arguments over doctrine. Okay, the law shall proceed forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Right, and John even says, I didn't see a temple there, because the Lord himself and the Lamb are the temple. Okay, and the nations shall walk in his light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory up to the city. Right, and Zechariah says, the Lord will be king over all the earth, and in that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and his name the only name. Okay, now I don't believe, though, that you're only going to see the Lord from a distance, you know, a hill far up there, you know, I can't get too close to him the way you might, I want to go meet a celebrity, but he's always got this big crowd around him, and I can't get too close. No, you know that the Lord Jesus has a personal relationship with each one of his little ones, right, each one individually. Okay, now yes, there are going to be millions of people around, and I'm sure they will all like to be close and all surrounding the throne, and you might wonder how that's going to work. Well, I'm not quite sure how it's going to work, but I know the Lord is infinite. Okay, and the psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, right? He leads me. He guides me. He sets a table for me. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, the Lord will give me the crown of life. Okay, now look, I'm plenty happy for the cows and the bears, and I hope they have lots of grass and everything, but I want to see Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, you know that says in the Bible that there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. So that means the Lord sees you, he knows you, he has a place for you, and frankly, so what if there's going to be millions of people? Okay, you will not go unnoticed. Right? You know how the Lord said there's, not a sparrow falls to the ground, but your Father knows about it. And you, are you not worth more than many sparrows? Right? Don't fear, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay, and the psalm says, I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. Right? As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. Amen to that. One more thing, two more things. The Isaiah here says of the increase of his government. His government and peace, there will be no end. Okay? Finally, somebody in charge who will be faithful and good and true. King of kings and Lord of lords to sit upon the throne of David, right? Isaiah says later on, the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. Okay? He will reign. In case you didn't know, that's all three branches of the government, right? The Lord is our judge, the Lord is our legislature, the Lord is our executive, he's our king, he will reign. To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. It will never pass away. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. Not only not be destroyed, increase of the increase of his government and peace, no end. He will reign over and bless them forever. It's what it says here, to order it and establish it henceforth and forever. So yes, his capital in the New Jerusalem, somehow yet present with his people in every place, wherever they may be. The scripture says, before they call, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear them. Okay? Finally, friends, and to me this makes the whole experience so much the richer, perfect fellowship and reunion among all of the redeemed of mankind. Okay, you know where it says in Hebrews, righteous men made perfect. Hallelujah to that. Right, your loved ones in the perfection of holiness and eternal youth. Right, all of the people that you always wanted to meet. Okay, people you never got to say goodbye to. People you never got to say I'm sorry to. It says in James, Elijah was a man like us, which cracks me up because I think of James. Wow, James is somebody special. James is saying that Elijah was a man just like us. Okay, James is a man just like us. I'd really be interested to meet some of these people and find out, are they really just like me? Would they like playing the piano? Do they like pancakes? Do they like cats? You know, are they really people just like me? Okay, he must have something that's his favorite thing to eat. I have said before, I am so glad we have forever. Because number one, there's so many interesting people to meet. And number two, you know, there's so much of their life experience to learn about. Okay, but you know, one thing I thought of is you won't have to go over all the people you didn't say I'm sorry to. You don't have to go over the past and hash out who was right and who was wrong. Right? We're all wrong. Okay, there's only one that's good, and that's God. And God gave us his good son. Right? To us, his son is given, right? He's given. He just gave him. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have never-ending life. Okay, so a few weeks ago, I mentioned in Romans where it says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through him we have access into this grace in which we stand. Now, when Romans says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, this is what it means. Okay, we contemplate peace eternal. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We contemplate and celebrate peace everlasting. To us, a son is given. He's given that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life and of the increase of his government and peace, no end henceforth forever. I remember in the book of Daniel, where Daniel is telling King Nebuchadnezzar the meaning of his dream, right? The stone that struck the image grew into a great mountain and filled the whole earth. In the days of those kings, Daniel said, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. It will not be left to another people. It shall break in pieces and consume all other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Your eyes, saints, will see it. Your eyes will behold the king in his beauty. You will see a land that stretches afar off. Look up at Zion, the city of our celebrations. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a peaceful habitation, a tabernacle, a tent that will never be taken down, not one of its stakes ever removed, not one of its cords ever broken. To him who overcomes, I will give him to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Saints, peace be to you. Peace always in every way. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish it. Press on. Take hold. Walk the way of peace. You, O man of God, flee all those things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called and to which you have given testimony in the presence of many witnesses. Thanks be to God for his Son. Thanks be to God for his promises. And I thank God for you, saints. Let's pray together to our Lord and our Savior. Precious Father, you are the mighty King, the everlasting. You are the first. You will be the last. Lord, we cling to your promises. We rest in them. We commend one another, Lord, into your good hands. We know, Father, that you have spoken it and you will accomplish it. Thus speaks the Lord. And so thank you, Father, for your mighty declarations, for your perfect goodwill that will bring it to pass. And we thank you for the comfort that we find in knowing that you are not only the one who speaks, but the one who acts. Thank you, Father, for the redemption that we have, for the promises that we look forward to. Comfort us, Lord, and strengthen us in the week ahead as we contemplate these things and get back together again on Friday night, Lord, to consider the birth of your Son into the world. Blessed be your name forever, Lord Jesus Christ, our King. Amen.